Welcome to the Speakeasy and our new sit-down interview series called Whiskey Made Me Say It. We will interview the most interesting and humorous golfers, whiskey makers, and enthusiasts and enjoy their perspective on life. Sit back and enjoy Whiskey Made Me Say It. Speakeasy Nation, this is Brian Bailey here, and I'm excited to bring you our new interview from Whiskey Made Me Say It. We have Bobby DeMars, one of the founders of Blind Barrels. He is a disruptor in the whiskey world. He found a way to bring craft whiskeys to your door. That's right. He gives you blind barrels from some of the best whiskey makers you don't even know exist. So sit back with a dram and enjoy the conversation.
All right, Speakeasy Nation. This is Brian Bailey here, and I have a special guest, Bobby DeMars from Blind Barrels. If you don't know what this service is, well, he's getting ready to tell you. I make no money off this. I pay full price, and I love the product, and I will continue to pay for this product. So, Bobby, welcome, and how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm awesome, man. I'm just gearing up for a big whiskey trip in a couple of days, so I'm just I'm going for a recharge, the calm before the storm.
Oh, you're saving the liver. I love it. Where are you headed?
We're flying into Chicago. We're traveling up north, then we're going to Iowa, back to Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee in like 6 days. It's going to be nuts.
Wow. And you're doing research, I take it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We've had, you know, we highlight and showcase small American craft distilleries, and, you know, we're in Southern California. So obviously we have, you know, we've had some from California and Colorado, New Jersey. We've had them all over the place, and we've had some from Kentucky, but we kind of want to dig a little deeper into the Midwest. You know, we've had Middle West from Ohio in the lineup, and, you know, we blind taste everything that ends up in our lineup. So we're just, you know, there's some that have been on our list for a long time, and we've reached out to a bunch of them, and what better way than to press the flesh rather than to just, you know, through some samples. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I love a good story too.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we're going to meet up with some cool people along the way, you know, Corky from Peerless and, you know, Fred Minnick along the way. We're going to hit up and meet some people that we've talked with, some influencers and people along the way that we've become friends with since we launched this company. So we're going to be, yeah, it's going to be one of those trips where it's like, it's a work trip, it's going to be a fun one, and it's going to be, you know, I'm just preparing mentally for it.
Yeah, I'm in the golf industry, and I coached collegiately for like 20 years. So we would go to some of the best golf courses, stay at the nicest resorts. I'm like, no, really, this is work. Like, and my wife would look at me and go,
man,
not buying it.
I got to tell you, you know, what you do and I do is technically there is a merge in the world. Like, there's two great loopholes in life when it comes to drinking. One is tailgating. You know, you can just have an open container in public and walk by an officer and give them a tip of the hat, as long as you're not nude or harassing or whatever. Yep. Yeah, you're fun. It's fair game. Are you breaking the law in front of them? Yes. The other is drinking and driving on the golf course, which, look, I'm not saying go out there and drink and drive, but it's encouraged. You know what I mean? Like, they got people with carts coming out to you that say, hey, you know, why don't you drink a beer while you're driving? And that's, it's like, right. Okay, is this illegal? Is this a loophole? Is this just we look the other way? I don't know what the actual rule is and what it is state by state, but
I don't know if there is technically a rule, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it is a motor vehicle, right?
It is. Yeah, I guess you phrase it that way, but I'll give you a good story. The club that I belong to, the smaller club kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but you have your own whiskey locker. So you rent a locker, get this, $5 for the year. You put your whiskey in your locker, and then you just go ahead. When you show up, you pop your locker, you grab your bottle, and you hit the golf course. Doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we do bring bottles out there. I every quarter I take my guys golfing. You know, I have I call them whiskey wizards or spirits guys, as we like to call them. You know, when you do the reveal page, you ever gone through the video at all with Seabass and Chris? And
yes.
I mean, they're just fun characters. You know, they know more about the whiskey world than I do. Christian was the one that kind of introduced me to blind tastings, and that's really he was the catalyst to this whole company.
Yeah.
He works at the same financial firm that my wife does, and when the lockdowns happened, he reached out and he's like, hey, I'm going to do a blind tasting with whiskey. You know, you want to do it? I was like, you know, I've done this with wine dozens of times. I've never done it with whiskey. And after the first one, you know, and he had like eight samples that were all like, it was 8 30-milliliter sample. It's actually similar to what's in our box, but we have four samples that are more than 30. And I'd call him afterwards and I was just a little inebriated, you know, just enough where like felt like God was lifting up on my cheeks a little bit. And I'm like, dude, this feels like a business. And he's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, I'm going to figure this out. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then he like ghosted me for 3 months. I kept calling him. And I'm like, because I called an ABC, an alcohol beverage control attorney. And, you know, just a little pro tip, a little life hack. If you ever need an attorney, you can usually do a free hour-long consultation with one.
Yes,
you can. And I did one. And that only lasted 7 minutes because he said, there's several, you know, I'm like, I want to get some whiskey and I want to pour them into bottles and I want to send them out to people. He's like, you're breaking 7 federal laws right now. And I went, okay. So then I called 16 more different ABC attorneys. I did 16 more free hour-long consultations until I gleaned enough information. There were 3 of them that actually gave me really interesting information. And I kind of pulled together a plan. I did pick one of the attorneys that I really kind of vibe with. And we came up with a way to do it. Funny enough, we came up with a different and more efficient way to do it. It didn't take long to raise the money. You know, I'm the biggest investor in the company in both time and money, but you know, I told a bunch of friends, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I want to do a blind whiskey tasting. And I was just trying to gauge interest. I wasn't pitching. I was just trying to, am I crazy or is this a bad idea? And 14 out of the 15 said, if there's a chance for me to invest, let me know. So once I figured out how to do it, built the branding, at least the semblance of the initial, originally we were Blind Spirits, but which was kind of sexy, but there we ran into a potential trademark issue. So we became Blind Barrels. We like the alliteration and everything's in a barrel, right? Whiskey, tequila, wine. We have different avenues we can go down the road. And then it took an entire year to put all the key and legal partnerships in place. The licensees, I mean, we're not in a basement, you know, pouring samples into a bottle with a funnel. Like there's a lot of touches and partnerships. It is not easy to put other people's whiskey in our bottles and create a blind tasting. The logistics are pretty heavy, but, we think the experience is well worth it. You know, I think a lot of people, in fact, if there's a lot of, you know, we call whiskey nerds or whiskey snobs, depending on what you want to say it in a positive or negative way. A lot of times they'll say, oh, so I'm paying $50 for 4 doubles. And I'm like, well, you got to understand what's in this box you can't get.
Yeah.
You know, you've experienced, how long have you been a member since?
This is my 3rd box, I believe, coming up.
Ooh, so you started with the March box. You started with such a banger. Like we had.
That was good. Last one was good too, though. I got 2 of them right here from the last. I really like the Rocktown. I actually... It was just quirky enough that I kind of, and it was cast strength, which really helped. And then my wife bought me the World's Best Dad for my birthday's coming up. So,
World's Best Dad, it's from Dark Door in Tampa. And it's funny because they filled in like the last slot. I don't know why, but whoever ends up filling the last slot ends up just crushing in the lineup. And that is a Solera barrel that they only do once a year. You can only get it as a store pick at the distillery. And they always proof it down to 100. But when they send a sample, they send it cast strength. You know, I called, you know, Corey and the guys over there. And I said, hey, you know, you sent us cast strength. It's 121 proof. Can we do this cast strength? Can we just do a Solera barrel and the whole barrel and cast strength? And they thought, and they said, yeah, why not? We've never done that before. So literally this doesn't exist except That's for awesome. This box. Like you can't, even if you're at the distillery, like, and you get the World's Best Dad release, it's going to be proofed down to 100. Yeah. The Bourbon Junkies just did a video on this and, you know, Dan and Sean was just fawning over this. He's like, I think this is the best thing we've had in any of these boxes. And at the end of the day, it's like, what do you like? You know, like the Rocktown, you know, in terms of like what you like with your flavor and what that is. And if I get 20 people in the room, there will be at least 3 people that say A is their favorite, at least 3 that say B, at least 3 that say C, at least 3 that say D. And there's always one person that hates one of them, you know, that I didn't like that at all. There's always somebody, that will hate that one for, I will say 10th Mountain, which was in our first lineup way back in the day. I've never had anybody say they don't like 10th Mountain. Like literally nobody's ever said that. No one's ever disliked it. It's not necessarily everybody's favorite, but or and for some people it is, but it's kind of interesting. You know, everybody has a different palate in what they like, and that's what a blind tasting is, right? You've done them before. It sounds like you did them before you joined, right?
Yeah. There's a whiskey society in town, and they do every third Thursday of the month. There's a blind tasting that goes on. I was just there last night, so we did whiskeys versus Tennessee. Could we figure out the differences? And so basically, there's a lot of Maker's Mark, and then it was a
Larceny.
It was the Nashville company. It used to be. Oh God, I can't remember right now.
Start with a B.
Yeah, it used to start with a B, but they got rid of it. Now it's Nelson. They took the family name.
Oh, Nelson Brothers.
Yeah, Nelson Brothers. So we did three different Nelson Brothers.
Nashville.
We did three different basically makers. So it was good. It was good.
So I mean, the flip side of that is, and not to negate. Look, there's other companies. We're the only blind tasting company out there. The pure double blind, like that, you literally don't know what's in the box. Some people go, "Well, how do I know it's awesome?" And it's like, because nobody can buy their way in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, we probably talked to 20 distilleries for the four that end up in the lineup.
Yeah.
And some of them just send us one thing. I'm like, put your best foot forward. Like, what do you think is going to crush if it's in the lineup? We blind taste everything.
Yeah.
And I like to throw in a curveball because, I mean, I do have a member who's the guy that he sends me samples every quarter, which I love because I don't get to do blinds anymore. I'm the only one. It's
You're
like
the
this,
only one that doesn't get it.
It's like I'm cursed now. I don't get to because I know what everything is and I have to. Whereas my whiskey curators, Christian and Seabass, I said, you know, I mean, they get to do all crazy sorts of blinds all the time. Yeah. And that March box that you did, so we called it the Some Like It Hot box because everything in there was cast strength.
Yep.
And we had from Mammoth, Devil's Creek, there's only 80 bottles in existence at that place. We did a barrel pick with them and it killed. We did a barrel pick with Ray Ranch. That particular barrel that we did was from a cooperage that they like almost never use. And so it had a totally different flavor profile of something that you'll never be able to get from Frey. We did a barrel pick from Southern Star. Southern Star, that particular barrel pick was really special. Pete Barger, I don't know if had you had Southern Star before that lineup?
No, I hadn't.
I mean, they're just, you know, they source for 109 brands privately that, and they won't tell who it is. You know, it's like MGP out there, obviously sources in Green River and Bardstown, all these places source, and a lot of them are upfront about it, and some of them aren't. And they don't tell, and they've been doing it for a long time, and they were quietly creating their own brand and really knew what they were doing. And we didn't just pick a barrel. We picked a barrel that was the sister barrel to the barrel that won the New York Spirits competition. And it's maybe the darkest whiskey I've ever seen, the richest whiskey. When I put that in a blind with their samples, I snuck in a Pappy 15 year into the lineup just to test my guys and to see, you know, and there's seven of us doing it. And the Pappy did well, like in all the samples that were there. But the barrel pick that we did crushed Pappy 15 and all, you know, another weeded bourbon, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just special in so many different capacities. And it was a barrel pick, so we only had so much of it. And then we did a 26 year from Cat's Eye. That was a 26 year, 151 proof. It was originally 159 proof.
Yeah,
and I had Gene from Cat's Eye proof it down because I think there's like 13 states where you can't ship something.
I don't think you can mail that.
it's literally like, you know, somebody smokes a cigarette within a 3 mile radius and everything explodes. And I was actually like waking up sometimes. Like I had a couple early mornings where I was like, is this dangerous that people are doing a blind tasting with 151 proof? And I'm like, well, let's just call it the Some Like It Hot box, and that's a warning, right? Let's just
it
give
was on
a
the
little...
box. That was the warning. You didn't notice it.
Come on. It's the name of the box. It's what we did.
That's right.
So we were hoping that that's what that was. But that one was just ended up being special in so many different capacities. And the barrel pick that we did with Southern Star, the distributor, I won't say who they are, but they put the wrong codes on the cases. So our fulfillment partner kept receiving the wrong cases.
Yeah.
And they were still cast strength Southern Star, and we could have sent it out, but it wasn't our pick. Our pick was dark. It was special. It was all these things, and it wasn't it. And imagine you order this bottle, and a month goes by, 2 months go by, 3 months go by. Now, all I could do was call everybody. And eventually, I just said, look, if it doesn't come, if the distributor screwed this up, I will refund everybody their money. and I will personally buy everybody a cask strength bottle. It won't be our barrel pick, but I will, out of my own pocket, I'll just buy everybody a bottle.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad they found the cases, because I was going to take a hit.
That was going to be a painful one.
It was a risk. I'm a gambling man, and it paid off. And the distributor said they were going to like do something for everybody, and they didn't. So actually, I'm sitting with this right now. Check this out. I have, I turned the bottles that were used for the samples into candles. We made an original scent. I'm going to send all the people that got a bottle and were patient, had to wait. I'm going to send them a badass candle made out of the barrel pick.
That's cool. That's a story in itself.
So we're going to come through in some capacities, but you know, and you kind of get the idea of what we're really doing, and it's not about brands. We've had big craft, you know, you got a bottle of Penelope in your backdrop, right?
Yep.
So Penelope was in our June 2022 lineup. And what was really cool about that was Danny and Michael, just phenomenal people. In so many different ways. You know, we were just starting out as a company. For them to take the time and talk to us several times before they ended up in the lineup, they gave us a sample of Penelope barrel proof that was an original mash bill that didn't exist in any of their batches.
Yeah.
So it was another just thinner sliced version. And it was actually what kind of gave us this idea. We need to try to make, not just pick brands, but can we pick something even more special
inside of
about
that,
exactly about that distillery or
niche,
that brand
inside the niche,
exactly. And because you know, there's nothing like being able to share great whiskey with somebody, and you have a story to tell, and there's something extra special about it. We, you know, our samples is enough for like two or three people to share in a box, and we have, you know, several couples and several groups of friends that just share one box together. The best value is honestly the prices and the bottles that we sell. Because we price it in a way that our goal is to sell the bottles so that you support the distillery. As a company, we don't benefit. We don't lose money when we sell bottles. Sometimes we break even, and sometimes we make a little bit of money when we sell bottles, but we usually sell it for the same price. And oftentimes we sell it for less than if you were at the distillery yourself.
Yeah.
So like that cask strength Paragon at the distillery, a cask strength Paragon is $70.
Yeah.
So that's what we sold it for. I think it's a $400 bottle of bourbon all day, for what it is, personally. I mean, if you can crush Pappy 15, technically it's a $1,500 bottle.
Yeah, I was about to say, you could be pushing $4,000 if you're in the right market.
You know, people heard about that barrel pick, and they actually, the word got out. And I can't tell you, I have a guy, there's a guy in a Facebook group that messages me like literally once a week, like, because there's still a little bit of that barrel pick left with our fulfillment partner. And that's kind of the deal we make. He gets a little bit of that, but he hasn't done anything with it yet.
Yeah.
And he wants to know, like, when is that going to be available? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, you know, maybe become a member and buy a bottle, because I don't know. You know?
There,
like,
you go.
I can't control all of this. But he saw the response of what it was at the people that got it. And yeah, like I said, there's this darkness to it when you look at it, and it's just like, is this, you almost think it's manufactured, or it's got some crazy age statement to it. And it just was in this sweet spot of the Rickhouse, and nobody knows why.
Yeah. No, that's again, the beauty of whiskey. So, let's go back a little bit. How did you played football at USC? I read up, you were a filmmaker. You kind of said COVID and whiskey and how it kind of started, but when did you get started with whiskey? When did that journey start?
I mean, I was always more of a drinker than a taster. You know, I was a Jack and Coke guy at the bar, you know, in my early 20s, you know, give me a hangover on the rocks, please.
That's right. Extra. Me a Wild Turkey 101. Heck yeah.
can I get a sugar packet to put into my Jack and Coke? I'd like to really deplete my vitamin B as fast as possible. So yeah, look, I played football in college, and when I got out, I became a filmmaker, and I still make documentaries. I'm now making a lot of short documentaries. I'm just finishing up one for Frey Ranch. We got to spend all day with Colby and Ashley, and it's just a gorgeous story. It's going to be a really cool short film. And I mean, look, I wasn't really a whiskey collector. I still consider myself more on the novice end.
Yeah.
I know more about liquor laws than I do about whiskey. I can't tell you, oh, well, you see, when the esters interact with the the starches, and you know, I can't tell you the full science behind it. Sea bass, I'll tell you what, if you sea bass, like for being a youngin, for being in his early 30s, yeah. This guy knows a ton, a ridiculous amount about whiskey. And I'm still, look, we have a masterclass on our site that anybody can take. You don't even need to be a member, about the process of the color, the aroma, the four stages, yeah. You know, the tasting, the finish, you know, whiskey terms, mash bill, all these different things that for people that are on different stages of their whiskey journey. And, you know, I shot and edited all those things. And that was as I was learning about them, you know. I'm still, like I said, very much, I'd say, yes, I'm probably a little bit more intermediate now, from being able to pull notes. I can definitely tell the difference between a bourbon and a rye and a single malt. I can often pull out a weeder, you know, but I put blinds together for my guys and they're like, is this a single malt? And it's a bourbon. And sometimes you had that Toshito pepper that, you know, that's right. threw your taste buds off their game.
You hit the taco truck halfway through the day and it was over.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, you know, I probably drink less than I used to. You know, I've lost, you know, 45 pounds since I started this company, and it wasn't all stress weight. It's because I'm very mindful in my approach to the spirit. I have a lot of respect for it. And, you know, I will sit on the back porch when I get home tonight and watch my kids play for an hour, yeah. and connect to the moment. And whiskey, I know this sounds very California of me, you know, and I found my spirit animal and I opened up my third eye and I,
and it was a whiskey bottle,
but exactly, you know, there's a very mindful component to drinking whiskey. There is a very healthy approach to it. If you do it in a communal way, when you're sharing it with your friends, you know, you don't have to get blacked out. You know, we do have people that, you know, could have a health problem where drinking is bad for them at that point, or, yeah. Or maybe they do have a drinking problem, and I strongly advise them, encourage them to do what's best for their health and their family. And, you know, happy to provide resources for anybody when that happens, but this is not about let's get blacked out drunk and, yeah. and see who can, and I've been at whiskey festivals and I've seen those people. And I'm like, you are not an enthusiast. You have a problem. Yeah.
Your intention is elsewhere. You're not there to enjoy the liquor.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's also what, you know, what I love about golf. Golf is this, I mean, look, I live in kind of this concrete city, you know, LA is very spread out, but we don't have a lot of open space out here. Yeah. And I chase that open space, and the golf course is just this, you know, you're battling yourself, right? It's the only sport when you try harder, you do worse. And there's something beautiful about that. Right.
It does show a lot about a person. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, dude, I can't try. I used to drive it almost 400 yards. I used to crush it. And now I lost all the torque and the form. And now it sucks because, like, I could hit a six iron.
You got to put that weight back on.
Oh, no. I think, that was when I was like 225. You know, now, you know, I'm still in the twos, but I mean, I'm trying to get down to that. You know, I think my belly was getting in the way of just the, you know, I'm sure. You know, sometimes you don't golf for a while, you forget all your bad habits, right?
Yeah.
And it's really sucks as you get older when you have to club up, because, you know, I used to be able to hit a six iron 225. Like, yeah, and now I'm like, okay, I'm 180 out. I better get rid of my fairway wood. You know, right. I gotta, you know, yeah. like, yeah, I just don't have that anymore.
I've turned 50 and now I'm slowly, like, my son's starting to, he plays golf now. And he's out clubbing me by two easy. So I hit my 8 iron probably about 155, 160. And he's hitting his 8 iron, like 165. And I'm just
Oh yeah. And he's just, and it's touch, it's kissing the sky and it's just coming in. He's pulling that ball repair thing out of his pocket every hole. And he's like,
I'm a savvy old golfer that, so that's where he hates me, because I just know how to play the game.
Yeah, you're in the trees, but then you do that, like, reverse facing backwards, like one-handed thing where you just come through with it.
I could if I had to, but, you know? No, it's really fun. I've played golf now for 40 years of my life, 35, 40 years of my life, and it's just, I can go play golf, and it's just second nature. So that's just, that's something that's brought joy in my life, and kind of when I was stuck with COVID, this is kind of when I started my whiskey journey, was I was stuck inside. Now I live in Virginia and we're out in the country a little bit, so I live on 6 acres. So we have lots of room. So we were able to walk around and enjoy life still as all that crazy was going on. But my wife's big into wines. We have a lot of wineries here. But we started sampling whiskeys and doing, we were like, let's just do cocktails. And that kind of got us started. And then from cocktails, then we started going, well, let's do whiskey cocktails. And then from whiskey cocktails, we said, oh, let's just do whiskey with a little bit of ice. And then we're like, oh, let's just try whiskey by itself. And then that was kind of the motion of getting there. But when my wife always laughs at me, anytime I go into something, I'm all in. It's like, if I'm going, I'm down the rabbit hole. So I'm buying books, I'm magazines, I'm on the internet. And then I just saw these crazy parallels between golf and whiskey. You know, golf was started roughly about the same time whiskey was actually being produced by the monks in Ireland and Scotland. And then a lot of the rise and falls inside of golf mirrored the rise and fall in whiskey making. And it was just really interesting. It was, it's kind of the Western, the Western game of golf, and then kind of the Western's interpretation of whiskey and the spirit. And they were just, I just started to see, and then the language is very similar. Like they use a lot of the same terminology. It was just really funny. I was like,
whoa. I think there's a book there. I already got the title, Spirit of the Game.
That's right. But so it's been a lot of that. And then, like I said, a lot of the guys I golf with and know, and they enjoy whiskey. And so, when you're out on the golf course for 5 hours with buddies and you're sharing samples and, everyone brings a different allotment sample and enjoy that. It's, at its core, they're the same, right? It's camaraderie. It's friendship. It's time together. It's not looking at your phone. It's not, it's actually living in kind of that moment. I think whiskey and golf are very good at kind of channeling that. So it's kind of how I got started. And then I was dumb enough to create a podcast just because I was bored. And I did a golf podcast and tons of golf videos and stuff. And so I started this for fun. And when we started putting them up on our golf site and stuff, I was like, okay, if I can get 10% of everyone that listens to everything else we do, I'd be happy. And we're 50 to 70% retention. And I'm just like, maybe there is something to this. The businessman in me goes, maybe there is something here. I'm going to keep pushing this a little further.
Well, I mean, when you speak to something that you know about and you speak to something that you love, I think that authenticity comes through, and that's, probably what your audience gets out of that. A lot of people start podcasts and, I've been on some of those. And where they don't really turn into, I'll go on any friend's podcast that, they got an audience of two people, and that's fine too. And they're trying to find their audience. And I mean, I've been on some where I can't believe they don't have a bigger audience because there's such a talent there.
Yeah.
And I've been on some bigger ones where I'm like, okay, I don't know. They have a lot of marketing dollars. I don't know how.
Well,
and you never know why that works. Yeah. You don't know why it works. And
all of that can be, it can be quirky, but, where do you see Blind Barrels going here in the future? What you've created, where do you see, in a couple of years, where do you want to be?
In a couple of years, we're going to probably get into tequila. We're going to do a tequila box, and it's going to technically be an agave box because, just like all bourbons are whiskey, but not all whiskeys are bourbons. All tequilas are mezcals, but not all mezcals are tequilas. So we're going to have, mezcal, reposado, añejos, jovens, blancos, extra añejo, cristalinos. There's so many different categories that you can go in. They're now finishing tequila in all sorts of interesting barrels, including bourbon barrels. It'll be a different tier. It'll be a different SKU. It'll be a different audience. A lot of times you'll find somebody. I'm a fan of both. Those are kind of both of my spirits. Eventually I guess we could get into gin. I think rum and vodka are just too much one note and not worth it. Yeah. Gin is pretty nuanced if you look at the directions they've gone in. We are working on beer. Wine is difficult because of the oxidization, and also, even if you bottle it, when they're bottling it, that wine isn't really available for another year and a half. So there's a way to do that. And we've thought about a way to do that. And so, because everything is in a barrel, but we wanted to focus on whiskey because it was what our passion was. We wanted to kill it with this audience and to grow as organically as quickly as we can, and really focus on small American businesses. These are what happened in Prohibition was the three-tier system came into play. So the producers, which are the distilleries, have to pass through a distributor before they pass to a retailer, and a consumer can purchase the whiskey from that retailer. And that's been in place since Prohibition ended in whatever it was, 1932. And the problem with that is distribution has really had a stranglehold. There's some amazing distributors out there, and there's some big dogs that are, you know, they're like the mafia, and they control who gets the shelf space, and they take kickbacks, and they take free product, and they cannibalize it instead of using it for sales. And they make you buy a bunch of this vodka in order to get an allocated thing. And they do all these things that they're now starting to get in trouble for. And the imagine you're making some of the country's best whiskey, and you're in some local stores, and you're a rock star in 50 miles. But outside of that, not only do people not know about you, they wouldn't be able to buy or try you in any other way. Yeah. So, you know, we are small American businesses, and we're showcasing and supporting other small American businesses. So when we started Blind Barrels, the focus of that was very much that we're not going to put Maker's Mark and Michter's in a box. You're not going to get Jefferson's Oceans. Okay. Yeah. You can go get that at your Total Wine or your BevMo or your Liquor Barn or whatever's in your area. All of that's super accessible. The best value by far is the access to what we're trying to provide. So right now we are looking into getting into hotels. We're, you know, talking to stadiums and luxury boxes, or other avenues that we can go in. You know, we're talking to barrel investment clubs out there, and just trying to see what makes sense. I mean, the one thing about the history of whiskey, you know, you're part of a golf community and we're part of a whiskey community. And, you know, there's a camaraderie in both, if you think about it.
Yeah.
There's an honesty in golf, right? I mean, everybody has that friend they golf with that's not honest. You know, I got a 7. I'm like, you got out of the cart 8 times. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about?
There's no
way. Like, you know, that there's that element.
What about the 4 other balls that you can't find? How did we get there?
Yeah, dude. Like, and then all of a sudden you pull his ball out of the hole and it's your ball. And you're like, dude, like, you picked up my ball when I lost it and I took strokes, whatever. You find out kind of who you are. And the thing about the whiskey industry, if you look at the history of it, when, you know, distilleries ran out of whiskey, they borrowed it from their neighbor and they borrowed it from their other town.
Kind of that farmer culture.
Exactly. And so we didn't want to do what some other companies in our space do, which is to force people to pay marketing fees or to give us special prices or to lower their wholesale price or to do anything, you know, because these are small businesses and we're trying to uplift them. We're trying to showcase them. We're trying to make it as symbiotic as possible. You know, we have a distributor we work with, LibDiv, that we love. They've introduced us to so many brands. You know, there are some good guys in distribution as well. But, you know, we're trying to kind of thwart that system and that approach so that these brands, there's 3,000 whiskey brands that you haven't heard of. And there's about 1,000 of them that you really should. I'm not saying everybody in craft is killing it. I'm looking at a shelf of some craft that people have sent us that I'm just like, I don't even know if that's whiskey. This doesn't say whiskey anywhere on the bottle. I don't even know. They threw hops in at the end and they did something that made it not be whiskey. I'm like, I don't know. This is, you know, and sometimes people will be
whiskey
like,
whiskey with THC. I have never seen that before.
I mean, we're in California. We probably invented that.
Point,
you know what I mean?
Point.
I don't know what the rules are for that either, but, I mean, we mainly have really a few rules. Our rules are, it has to be American and craft. Generally the bottle prices are between $50 and $100 for retail for the bottle. Yeah. So we want this to be special. I guess that's not a hard rule. I mean, Pikesville is a great $36 daily drinker rye that, you know, wouldn't be bad to have in the lineup. It would crush in a blind because it's really good whiskey. But obviously, you know, when people are paying a couple $100 for an annual membership, we want them to feel special. And that's why, like, the box that you have, I put a lot of energy into making sure that.
That box is nice.
It took a year to make custom boxes. It's soft touch with the gold leaf and a ribbon pull and a magnet closure and custom foam and got the litho on the inside. Yeah, we made it. We wanted everything to be top shelf. The bottles are custom. The caps are custom. You know, the branding, everything that we wanted to do, we wanted people to associate these craft brands with top shelf, you know, remove their bias, you know, become educated on the spirit and figure out what you like, you know, what you like and what other people like are completely different. So this company was founded for the purpose of that, the whiskey community coming together. We want to showcase these brands, and we don't want to say, hey, what are you going to do for us? It's like, no, what can we do for you? Yeah. And if we've had members that have done barrel picks, we've had 10 times where our members have done barrel picks with distilleries that have been in our lineup. In nearly every instance, that distillery has reached out and said, hey, one of your members is doing a barrel pick. We'd like to offer you a commission. And we haven't accepted it because the whole point of what we're doing is for things like that to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, some venture capitalist is going to be like, well, you don't like making money. And it's like, no, we appreciate our whiskey brothers and our community out there. And, you know, when people trust to be in our lineup, we want to make sure that we're making them look good and that opportunities arise, because that's what this is all about. It's not what can you do for us, it's what can we do for each other.
No, I love that. And I think golf industry the same way. Like, there's a lot of avenues where I've turned down a lot of opportunities for income by going, no, I'm another coach called me and said, can you see this person for a couple hours? Sure. Didn't charge it. It was a favor for, like, I'm doing this for them, you know? And then, so it's a lot of that as well. I get that. And again, that's what business is about. Your ethos is your company. That's perfect. So we'll go ahead and wrap this up here in a couple minutes here. Kind of my favorite exit question is, give me your favorite whiskey genre, don't care, and what would you pair that with? So, like, I grew up here, and, you know, I went to Virginia Tech in Western Virginia. Cold weather, beautiful football weather. Hokies is our nickname. We used to be okay, now we're awful, but Hokies are a nickname, and Wild Turkey with the turkey, the Hokie. So I drink a lot of Wild Turkey. So when football season comes out, I grab my rare breed. I sit down by the fire, have the TV outside with the, you know, fire pit going, watching some, hate to say, not great football right now from Virginia Tech, but give me kind of your whiskey and pairing that is like, brings that memory of like that. This is like the perfect ideal situation.
Oh man, that's a tough question. You're asking me to pick my favorite child out of all my babies that are out there.
You can just put genre if you don't want to put a name to it. It could be a rye. It could be a
weed. I'm gonna throw out a brand that was in our lineup, Corbin Cash. They're in Atwater, California. They make a sour mash bourbon that was in our lineup, and it really is just something special. It's a real farmer, and I love pouring Corbin Cash sour mash bourbon. It's, when people think sour mash, they think of like Jack Daniels. It doesn't taste anything like that. Yeah. And it is something special. And, you know, I can tell you, take a frosted creme brulee and candied marzipan and sprinkle it with a side of nutmeg on your, and then wink at it twice. But I gotta tell you, I love cooking a killer perfect tri-tip. My buddy's got this dry rub called Traveler's Dust that is literally like crack. I don't know what he does, but I think he uses the right amount of garlic is what I think he's doing. And I put this dry rub on there, and people think I'm this genius, that I'm this genius barbecue chef. And I do have it to a science. I mean, it's almost like I'm a distiller figuring out my cuts, where I time it. I know what the temperature is. I don't stick an internal temperature in there. I can tell by the weight, and some of it's feel, right? You're kind of like, you're feeling the ship out as you're bringing it in. And I love just having a mean killer tri-tip and just a badass bourbon. If an old Carter rye, you know, oh my God, that's, you know, there's some of the old Carter ryes that are just my favorite. You know, if we're talking about something that isn't craft, I'm looking at a shelf. When we hit 1,000 members, we hit a milestone. I traded some bottles, and I got an 18-year Willett Family Estate Purple Top short barrel. And I got to tell you, this bottle is some, just for all of our investors and people that were close to our company to come in and just have a rear pour. I don't have a bottle. I don't have a rare bottle in my possession that isn't open.
Well, that's
I don't collect whiskey.
Yeah, there you go.
Great whiskey's meant to be shared. Great food's meant to be shared. You know, we got short time on this rock, and it's the connections that we have with everybody, whether we're out golfing, whether we're sharing a great whiskey, It's the connections we have with each other that make the best memories.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for your time. For those that are listening, December 1, 2, 3, we're going to be doing a whiskey golf experience here in Virginia. We're going to celebrate some Virginia whiskeys. And I'm actually heading to Ireland, so I'm going to bring back a couple rare Irish to give away as well. But Blind Barrel, I've talked with them, and we're going to go ahead and hook everybody up with a box of that as well. And, you know, Bobby, if you want to bring a friend over, I'll be more than happy to comp you guys. I'll comp you guys an entry.
Oh, man, that's so tempting. I mean, that's going to be right around our December release. And
yeah,
we got a partnership that I can't talk about that's going to – we've got some big, crazy things happening in December.
That's cool.
And we're basically going to try to top every box we've ever done. And
that's awesome.
Which is just going to disappoint me every time we come after that. But, you know, go to Blind Barrels. Check us out. You know, I give everybody my cell phone. You know, all my members have my number. They can call me. They can reach out. You know, I'm super accessible. We have somebody in this lineup that a member recommended. We have a distillery that we had never heard of that is in our September lineup. That guy's getting a free bottle and he's getting a free subscription. And so, you know, once again, this is the whiskey community, and come join us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening.
This has been a Fuel production.